I'm here with Maurice Wilson, a retired Master Chief Petty Officer with 25 years of service. Maurice is the President and Executive Director of the National Veterans Transition Services Incorporated and Reboot, a nonprofit organization he founded. Today on the show, we welcome Donald Lipsick, who served in the Army for 14 years as an electronics technician and combat engineer before transitioning to his career in sales. He's currently the Customer Success Manager for Helm 360, a sister company to CCS Learning Academy that focuses on the legal technology sector. We'll learn his story of transition from troubles to triumph and hear what hard-earned advice he has to give to veterans who are planning their transition back into the civilian sector. And now, onto the show. Hi, Donald. Hi, Maurice. Welcome to ninth episode. This is our ninth episode. Can you believe
yes,
that?
Yes. Great.
Awesome.
All right. Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. We've had some really great guests, and I'm so happy to have both of you back on the show. And Donald, love to get to know you more, get our listeners to know you as well. Nearly two-thirds of veterans say they face difficulty transitioning into the civilian sector and civilian life. And this podcast is really about helping veterans find their identity after service and hopefully offer some guidance, offer some advice, some tips, some tricks, some things that you both have had in your past experiences and guide individuals as they listen and hopefully they can learn a few things. So super happy to have you both. Is it Donald or Don?
I go by Don. Donald is my get in trouble with my mom name.
No, I don't
want to
do that.
I go by Don.
Okay, perfect. Right. Thanks, Don. Well, Don, tell us a little bit about your history, maybe childhood and what got you thinking about getting into the service and we'll kind of go from there.
Well, back in high school, I knew I wasn't ready to go to college. I knew from the get-go. My senior year, I didn't go to class much and I only had to pass one class. And what I should have done was just gone in the summer, taken that class and been done. It made my decision really easy. I had two full ride scholarships to go play golf and I turned them both down and I joined the Army right out of high school. I took a couple month break. I joined the Army September 23rd, 1986. So back when Ronald Reagan was the president. So it's a long time ago. Hard to fathom that at this point. And it wasn't a hard decision. I just knew I wanted to do it. I really did. And I didn't want to have to, you know, rely on my parents to take care of me when it comes to college and all that.
Perfect. Walk us through your military career. You know, what happened in the beginning? Where did you transition into?
This could be a little bit lengthy, but so I joined in 1986, went to basic at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri from Ohio. My whole family is originally from Southeast Kansas. It was a shock when I got off the cattle car, that was for sure, when you had drill sergeants screaming in your face and they don't do that anymore. I was at Fort Leonard Wood right up to Christmas. And then I went to Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama for my AIT. Which is advanced individual training. I was there for almost a year. I worked on the Pershing II missile system. I was an electronics technician on a nuclear ballistic missile. It's the missile that brought the Russians to the bargaining table with their Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty back in 1990. And I was in Europe when the Berlin Wall came down. When they signed the treaty, they did away with my job. So I didn't have a job. I didn't want to sit around and wait to go to another school, so I got out. I transitioned, went to college, got a full-time job to support my soon-to-be wife and children. I had a child on the way. I didn't have any issues transitioning because I just had to. You know, I had to go to school. I had to work to support my family, so it wasn't a hard transition. But during those 4 years, I was also in the National Guard as well as a combat engineer. And I never finished college, so I went back on active duty. So this would have been January of 1994. I went to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and retrained to get a new MOS. I went in as an administrative specialist. I was an E4. I was an E5 in the National Guard. They cut me back to E4. Once I got done with school, I went to Fort Drum, New York, and upstate New York, 10th Mountain Division. And all we did was deploy. I went to Operation Uphold Democracy in 80 for 6 months. And when we got back, I had a son that was born at Fort Drum.
Oh, wow.
And the 2 years that I was there, I got to see him for about 2 months. I volunteered to go to Korea to get out of Fort Drum so I could have choice of assignment coming back. So I went to Korea. I was in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea, in the 18th Medical Command. Had a great job there. Worked directly for a lieutenant colonel. I was his reports of survey NCO. It was pretty fun. Came back. My wife showed up at the airport with my three boys, and she was pregnant. Couldn't have been mine. That made it easy for me to walk away from that as well. I still supported my kids and, you know, all that. I got stationed at the military entrance processing station in Phoenix as the transportation NCO and got to see my kids whenever I wanted. So I had my kids all the time. I was in Korea from 96 to 97. In 2001, I was getting ready to reenlist and go to my next assignment. I got a piece of paper in the mail from a, if you're on state aid in the state of Arizona, you have to do random drug testing. And so my ex-wife was on this program. And so I got this piece of paper that stated that she had tested positive for methamphetamines, which made it easy for me to give up my career, even though I didn't want to get out and fight her for custody of my children. And I ended up getting sole custody of my kids after I got off of active duty because I lost my kids based on me being in the military. They gave her sole custody based on me being in the military. So it made it a very easy decision for me, even though I wish I could have finished my last 6 years on active duty and got that retirement that I really deserved. I just didn't get a chance to do it.
Wow. It seems like you've been through a lot of different ups and downs as far as just on very much on that personal level, and seems like you were able to kind of overcome that. So even though you didn't necessarily want to transition out yourself, you had to because of the sake of your kids. Tell us a little bit about that, you know, even from like a professional standpoint. What were you going through in that moment? I know a lot of heavy burdens for the family situation, but also, what were you thinking of? Okay, what do I do next? What was your mindset at that point?
You know, thank God you don't have to rely on yourself a lot if you have family and friends. I didn't have any family in Phoenix, but I had a lot of friends and a lot of friends who, I guess you could say friends in high places, maybe. Because when I got out, I was on terminal leave and I started a new sales position with Sparklets Bottled Water because my best friend, his stepfather, it's not what you know, it's who you know sometimes. And he was the one who got me my first job in 2001 when I had to transition out of the military because of all the personal stuff with my kids.
So you kind of transitioned because you knew somebody into like a sales role, which is interesting.
Right. And knew nothing about sales.
Looking for your next mission in tech? Take our Find Your Next Mission quiz. We match your interest and affinities with our knowledge of the tech sector to identify which tech career is the right fit for you. So maybe you should go into something like cybersecurity, or maybe you're more likely to enjoy the business intelligence field, or even software development. Wherever your tech interests lie, go to ccsla.com/vets to take the personalized quiz and start finding your next mission today. Tell us a little bit about that and, you know, hear a little bit more about your journey and this organization you worked for previously.
Okay, so I got into sales and it was a route sales position where I drove a big truck, had 5-gallon bottles of water, 3-gallon bottles of water, 0.5 liters, 1 liters. We sold everything. And we had coolers on our trucks and it was our responsibility to build our route and to manage our customer base. So what I did was I got to know my customers down to their kids' birthdays, their dogs' names. If you can do that as a salesperson, those people will never, ever leave you. You are part of their family. And that's what I've always used in my sales background because, you know, after doing the water sales for 10 years, my lower back started to give me problems. You can't haul 2 tons of water a day for 10 years and not have any issues. So my boss at Sparklets left and he went to this company called Z Medical and they did first aid and safety. Well, he told me, he goes, well, I hear you're having issues. He goes, I got a position for you. I'll guarantee you this salary for the first 2 years until you can build this territory. He goes, I know you're good at it. So I took the position with Z Medical. And within 2 years, Z Medical got bought out by Cintas, First Aid and Safety. If you know anything about Cintas, they like to buy up businesses. So from Z Medical, I went into Cintas and just used the same principles that I used when I was with Sparklets and with Z. Get to know the customer, get to know the person who is responsible for paying the bills, and know something about them, about their family, about their business as well. And they'll never leave you. I've never had a customer that left me because of me. It was because of something extraordinary, or they were closing a business, or they just couldn't afford it anymore. I've never had someone leave because someone else came in and undershot me. They always would talk to me and say, hey, what can you do? And if I could match it, I'd match it. If not, then I'd have to say, you know, I really can't, but you can bank on me. You know, whenever you need something, I always have it for you. So it was a pretty easy transition. Almost 4 years ago now, my wife told me that I could quit Cintas. My dad had his third heart attack, and we would move to Southeast Kansas, where my family is from, buy a house and be close to my family. So she let me quit working for 3 years. I didn't have to work at all, and just spent time with my dad, played golf, and, you know, had a great time. My spouse, she was in a sales manager capacity. Now she's more of a consultant. And Sue Mickelson with Helm asked her if I would be interested in an interview. And I said, well, sure, why not? So Sue interviewed me, and she liked me, and she hired me with no legal background, no nothing, just a sales background. Period. And the rest is history.
Perfect. And I love the story, because from every position outside of the military, it's who you know, right? So I'd love to talk about making those connections with people, getting out there and understanding who are your resources around you that can help. Because not everybody will have the same transition story as you do. Or the next person, or the next person, or the next person.
I hope not.
You know, everybody has their story and different ways of transitioning. And so I think we've talked a lot about knowing your resources, knowing who you can connect with and what is out there, and maybe even putting yourself out there as well as you transition to find those opportunities.
Absolutely. Don, thank you for sharing your story first and foremost. I really appreciated hearing about what you went through. And Kanjula is right. Every one of us goes through something different. What my experience is going to be different from yours and pretty much everyone else out there, because we all have a unique, independent story. But we all have something very much in common, which she also mentioned, which is we go through a couple of what I call life's phases as we begin to reinvent ourselves, starting all over, you know, so that at the same time you're doing all this, and this is what's really interesting about transitioning, is that you still have to deal with life, okay? As you pointed out, you went overseas, you had to come back, you had to deal with the kids, the wife, you know, several other things. And so while you're trying to reconstruct your world, you still have to live in the present that you're in. And so it's not really a small tasking by any measure. And then at the same time, again, you're starting all over, remaking, reinventing. And as Kajo said, you're creating that new identity. You're finding that new purpose and that passion. And then you're finding the fit. It's like, okay, hey, what you were doing in the military, it fit. You had the team, you were comfortable, you had your mojo going. And then all of a sudden, you're out of the military. Now you're in a whole completely new environment. And you're starting all over again. Can you tell us a little bit about how you ebbed and flowed through the phases? We'll come back to what Kyle said, which is you got to have some kind of a network to support you, to back you up. Because what I hear from a lot of veterans, and I usually ask the question, what do you really need to be successful in your civilian life? And it's interesting, the response that I got from everybody. But before I give you the response, can you answer those questions there?
The one thing that I think I miss the most about the military is the camaraderie. In the civilian world, it's dog eat dog, trying to excel. I always try and excel at everything that I do. But the teamwork, the, hey, I got your six, you got my six mentality, you don't find that in the civilian world, unless you're working with someone who is a veteran as well. And there's not a lot of those businesses out there that are veteran owned. Everybody wants to be number one in sales. Everybody, no matter where you're coming from. I'm not going to sit back, and I don't want to ever be mediocre. I want to be number one.
Do you feel like the military prepared you for the difficulty of surviving out in the civilian sector?
Yeah, because in the military, you're not always given the best hand or the best equipment, for that matter. For one, it doesn't take care of itself. Your weapon doesn't clean itself. Your vehicles don't clean themselves. If you take care of the things that you own, they'll last forever.
Yeah, you got to make it all happen. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Would you say that the difference between civilian and military is that there's a greater emphasis on the people in the military? And you cited things like camaraderie, teamwork, gotcha six. There seems like a heavy investment in the people, if you will, in the military. We want to make sure that you, your life is pretty much functioning and up to par. Versus on the civilian sector, it's more of an emphasis on the product. Would you say that is the case?
The product and the business. If you don't perform as a salesperson, how can the company grow? How can the product get to the customer? In the military, you know, in some instances, it's life or death. It was very easy to learn in the military. Teamwork is everything. At some points in my civilian career, it was really hard because there really isn't teamwork. And when you need help from somebody, nobody wants to help. You know, that's the other part, is you almost have to beg some people to help you. And, you know, it shouldn't come to that.
In the military, the reason all of that happens is that that's part of the training scenario. When you first come in the military, you go through this enculturation process, which, again, the big investment is more in the people in terms of the cultural, how you fit, how you belong, how you become part of the team, part of the mission. And then after you have been processed and programmed for service, then the military focuses on the skills training, you know, which is a whole different mindset, very unique and very different environment. That means that, okay, now that you're leaving the military and then joining the civilian world, you have to adapt and adjust your way of thinking so that you could fit in. Because again, that's one of the phases, is finding your fit. The military basically walks you through fitting in. It's a beautiful thing. But in the civilian world, you have to fit yourself in because the emphasis is more on the business or the product, not necessarily on developing you. And I think that's the unique difference between the two environments, or we call them worlds.
They are two different worlds, and they're worlds apart. If someone has never been there, they don't understand.
That's one of the things that I hear a lot from employers, which is, how do we onboard veterans? How do we make veterans comfortable in the workplace? The question that I have for you is, having gone through all of this, what advice would you give to individuals who are following in your footsteps, that are now getting out and they're about to go through their version of what you went through? They can never go through exactly what you did, but they're going to go through their own version, and they're going to be some similarities to the experience, you know, what's happening in their head. Like, okay, you're leaving the military, you know, everything is autopilot. Now you're joining the civilian world. What advice would you give to people as they make that pivot?
For starters, no matter what the circumstances are, there's something out there for you to do. You just have to find that crack in the door, that crack in the window to get your foot in. And then once you're in, you can show what someone transitioning from the military can do. I think that military veterans have a step up on people who go just straight to college and then go straight into the workforce. We have real world experience, for one, and two, we can overcome any obstacle that we are given.
Well, absolutely. We're putting so many circumstances. Let me kind of go back and paraphrase or rephrase what you said. And I quite agree. We're all going to have our own unique experience, and it's going to be different from each one, which means that you're still going to have to deal with life, you know, whatever your circumstances are. However, there are some things that you can do as you get ready to pivot from the military into civilian life to ease the process. One would be, start your transition early. Okay, if you know you're getting out, then start planning early. Would you say that would be a factor?
Absolutely. I wish that I had that pivot point. I got the paperwork in December. I transitioned in January. It was a snap of a finger and I was out. No choice at all. Because it was either my kids stay in a drug infested area with their mom, I didn't know that these things were going on, or I leave. And I couldn't leave. I could not.
So Don, let me ask you, this is really getting to the nitty gritty of it. And so again, where possible or practical, definitely start early. That's checkbox number one. Number two would be plan as much as you can in terms of your transition, or have a plan that says, and again, we're speaking to all the listeners, it's not a question of if you're going to get out. It's more of a question when you're going to get out. Hey, it's going to happen to everybody. So you got to at least start early and have a plan in your mind that says, okay, when I get out, these are the things that I want to do. And it's sort of like put that in perspective. Don, the other thing, and again, I want to ask you, did you have any help? Did anybody support you, whether it was your command, a military planners, anybody out there that you went to?
Not on the military side of the house, because for me, I had to transition down in Fort Huachuca in Sierra Vista, Arizona, which was 4 hours from where I live. So when I transitioned, I went down there. I did all the checklists. You know the checklist when you get out of the military, you got to do all this stuff, get all your records. And so I went down there and one day transitioned and I was done and out. They gave me phone numbers and stuff, but you know, I had already started. I already had my interview for my job. I already had the job lined out when I was going to start, but I didn't have a choice. I had a family. You know, I had boys that I had to take care of, and I had a spouse. I didn't need to go down there because I already knew what I had to do. And I just took it as another step in my military training.
Just for the audience, there is transitioning, which is a thing you go through. And then there's being processed for separation. So you perhaps didn't get a transition. You didn't go through the transition in the normal sense. You were processed for separation, which is one of those almost one and done. It's like, okay, we're going to separate you out in 6 weeks. And we got to make sure that all the paperwork is all done and you're processed for separation.
Absolutely. Because I was coming up on my reenlistment date. And when I got that paperwork, I literally had to go see my commander. I told my commander to remove me from the promotion standing list. My life changed in the snap of a finger. And I didn't have a choice to go back because my kids were little. My kids are all grown now, but we actually have two boys, one in the Air Force, one in the Army. And then we have a son-in-law who's in the Air Force as well.
No Navy?
No Navy.
What's wrong with the Navy?
The Air Force and one Army.
Let me just ask you one more question, then I'm going to toss the ball back to Kajo. So I think we clear some things up here for the listeners. Is that okay? Leaving the military, you're being processed for separation. There's a difference between transitioning out. Transition is a sort of like a overtime kind of multi-step thing you go through as you're getting ready to get out, you know, and there are so many elements to your life. It's not just a checklist of things. It's like a reshuffling of your life, which is, okay, when you leave the military, what is your next move? You know, where are you going to live? What are you going to do? How are you going to pay the bills? You know, you got to start thinking about your family. So you're actually rebuilding your life. And I just wanted to get that in the universe, that when you're leaving the military, you're changing your entire life. You're not changing a job. You're changing your whole way of living. And that requires a whole lot of thinking. And so as you come home to, let's say, your community, have you connected with organizations like VFW, American Legion? You know, because you have to rebuild your social network from where you were to where you are.
Yep. Oh, and it's different everywhere because, you know, I kind of wish when I got out in Phoenix that I would have joined the American Legion there. Actually, I wish I would have joined when I joined the military in 1986. I'd have almost 40 years, you know, coming up on 40 years in 2026 would be 40 years of service with the American Legion, but I only have 3 years. So I got Pat when we moved here to Southeast Kansas. I'm a member of John C. Brown Post 26 in Girard, Kansas. I was on the honor guard, did all the funerals. We went to 9 different small cemeteries around our community in different communities. It's very humbling to be a part of those organizations when you go out and you do a funeral for somebody and you present the flag to the widow or the only remaining family member who may be a distant cousin or whatever. And to see the tears coming down their face, it almost makes me cry. because I've done so many in the last 3 years, but it's very humbling.
When you leave one community or family, such as the military, there's that need to replace it with another. And it's important for the listeners to know that these organizations do exist, and you don't hear about it in the military, but they're out there. American Legion, they're pretty much across the country. VFW, I think American Legion has about 11,000 posts across the country. And I forgot, I think VFW has about 6 or 8,000. And so that's your extended family. And so my advice would be, like you said, join early, but definitely make a beeline to those organizations as soon as you get out, because you got to connect to a network there.
The younger people getting out, please join these organizations. They are going away. The doors are closing in the communities around me almost monthly. We need to get the younger generation into these organizations, because the older guys from World War II, from Korea, from Vietnam, they're all going away. And somebody has to pick up where they left off and continue carrying that flag. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of that around here.
This is a very powerful discussion, because now we're dovetailing several key ingredients. One is us leaving the military and seeking the next family. But then there's the family that's dying that needs us. I'm actually in post 492 here in San Diego. And that's part of one of my missions, is really to get back in there and connect with them and point young people to these organizations who can immediately help you through everything. They have veteran service representatives. They can help you with benefits. They can help with food, clothing, housing. I mean, whatever is your needs are, these organizations are there and they can help you. And so there should be no veteran or family member. And there's auxiliaries for families too.
Auxiliary and the SAL, Sons of the American Legion as well.
So it sounds like your advice would be, before you get out, if you can connect with these organizations, that would be fine. But when you get out, as soon as you get out that plane and, you know, pack your luggage, make a beeline down to the American Legion or the VFW. And usually there's probably one on every corner.
There's one in your community somewhere, or a community nearby you. You don't have to go very far. There are seven within 35 miles of me.
Yeah, so many great organizations. And I know you also mentioned about a veteran golfing association that you're part of. Love to let the listeners know about that.
Sure. It's called the Veteran Golfers Association. It was two guys who met at Walter Reed Army Medical Center that started this organization. And basically what it does is it gets guys out of their own heads, gets them out of their houses and on the golf course with guys that they may have something in common with. They're all veterans and they all get together and we all just go play golf. It's not for money. It's not for notoriety. We play for medals and trophies and stuff like that. But it can be slapstick at sometimes, and then it can be really, really serious. Last year, our national champion was a wounded veteran. It's really, really awesome. You compete all the way down to state level. I actually won the Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa Tri-State Championship 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to Boilermaker Golf Complex in Indiana, where our Central Region Championships are. So I'm hoping to punch my ticket to my first national championship. That website for the Veteran Golfers Association is www.vgagolf. That's Victor Golf Alpha Golf Oscar Lima Foxtrot.com. It's really awesome to get out and meet new people. You meet new people every tournament that you go to. You're gonna have bonds with people that you never met before in the military, but they're going to be your buddy for the rest of your life.
And as you said, it's all about building that network post-military.
Absolutely.
Definitely good luck to you. Would love to know how you do in the tournament and keep us updated.
I will.
So what is your next mission? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, for starters, I hope to be number one salesperson at Helm 360 at one point in my career with Helm. Also, I want to be able to pass on a legacy to my kids and my grandkids, showing them right from wrong. And my grandkids want me to talk to them about the military and what I think about it. I miss it. I miss it every day. I'm kind of living vicariously through my kids now, with them being on active duty, especially my son-in-law. He's attached to Special Ops and Joint Special Operations Task Force in Tampa. Best guy I ever knew. I mean, he's a great dad. He came to this country when he was 9 years old from Romania. So he's come from nothing and built everything that he has. Fast tracked through the Air Force. He's an E-7. He made E-7 in 10 years. He's an amazing individual.
Appreciate that, Don. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Your Next Mission. We hope you enjoyed our talk with Dawn and found it educational, inspirational, and raw. If you liked it, please like and subscribe. It really helps us grow the show. And for more information on the show or topics we spoke about today, or more about CCS Learning Academy, all of our training opportunities, please visit ccslearningacademy.com/vets. That's ccslearningacademy.com/vets. And there you can also take a tech skills aptitude test to really start thinking about a career in tech. So until the next time, best of luck finding your next mission. Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Maurice.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Next Mission. We hope you enjoyed the show. Your Next Mission will be back next year with all new episodes, so stay tuned wherever you get your podcasts.